The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax. Terminix can help.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast.
If your home or business has pests, don't stress it.
Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Ball Mission Control Deccant. Most importantly, you are you, you are here, and that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It's Thursday. As the human calendar goes these days, folks, which means it's one of our favorite times of the week, the time when we get to hear directly from you, our fellow conspiracy realists. We're going to get some great names, some great monikers today. Very excited about that.
Ben, really quick, did I ever mention that people sometimes call me the human calendar?
You have never. That's the
first
time. Because
I'm really good at telling people exactly what date it is without having
is that
to
true?
Consult.
Is it
no.
Any-
Oh, no, I'm bad okay. at that. It's not true.
So we're going to hear a bunch of we're going to hear some great topic suggestions. As you know, we love when we get new leads from our fellow listeners. We're going to talk about something incredibly important involving blood that has not been yet the subject of an episode. Before we do any of that, I know this is a little bit silly because there's so much stuff going on, but. Guys, remember when we were talking about Rebel Moon?
Oh, yeah, that award-winning
The Humble Farmer
documentary about the humble farmer.
Every 10 minutes, it's
about crop rotation
for the audience to know, and apparently whomever wrote that script, it's important to know that one of those guys is a humble farmer, and I want to give a very special shout-out to one of our fellow conspiracy realists who said, I'll go with that one.
You know, I like that I'm only learning about this film secondhand, and I'm going to keep it that way just to see what in mental image it conjures. But in my mind, the humble farmer is the protagonist of the whole story. But that's apparently not even true.
No.
I figured it was like a come up kind of story. Like he starts as a humble farmer and then he ends up saving the galaxy.
It's about crops because, again,
so it's interstellar, basically.
In Rebel Moon, someone probably read the first half of Save the Cat or something, which is a Bible of screenwriting, and then said, okay, as long as every character has a fear, an aspiration, and one defining demographic characteristic, then we are good to go. Take that, Shakespeare. Our first email today does come from a humble farmer. And it goes this way. This is just a story one to share. I think it is so very well written. As you know, folks, we read every email we get. Here's how it goes. Or what's that old joke? Want to hear it? Here it goes. Is that from
I don't
somewhere?
Think I know that one.
Okay. That might have just been one of my weird Tennessee uncles.
Is that from an LL Cool J song?
It is now. You're welcome, LL. So here it goes. Greetings and salutations, stuff they don't want you to know, team. I want to apologize in advance for the length of this email, and kudos goes to whomever finishes it in its entirety. Well, kudos to all of us from you. Thank you so much. We do read every email we get. I thought you guys liked the intro. I would like to start out by sharing my not-so-short nicknames for the group. You are all lovingly known in my head as Matt, the Twitterless Frederick. Applause. Noel only smokes pot in states where it's legal, Brown.
That's applause. Funny. It's very true.
Ben, definitely not trying to sneak into the DPRK, Wink Bolin. All right. I'll let it slide. Paul, can we Grubhub some Applebee's Deccant? And Alexis, the famous Alexis Jackson Jackson.
Applause. I like those.
Applause all around. Can we get an applause beat? Perfect. Just know, says our conspiracy realist, if you're a super producer reading this who wasn't included on the list, I probably have a nickname for you too. That's just eluding me at the moment. So watch out, Max Williams.
And Seth.
And Seth Nicholas Johnson, yes. And so we get a bit of background from our conspiracy realist here, who also has, by the way, granted us permission to paraphrase some of this. So going through some beautiful prose, we get to the first of two amazing subjects. Love the way you write here. This is the story. Let's get to my UFO, UAP, or UAO experience. It was ye old year of 2014. Some comrades and I had gathered at a friend's house in the woods for a little fire, some of Mr. Adams' finest ale and Washington's stinkiest herb. Editorializing, we'll leave you to guess what that means, folks. Continuing, you should understand this was not a rager, just a friendly gathering of 10 or so people out in the woods of Vermont, 25 miles away from the nearest city and 50 miles from the airport. At one point, I snuck away from the fire to sit on the porch and stargaze away from the light of the fire. While looking up at the stars, I came across an orange light. It was moving like a typical satellite light, but was maybe 2 times bigger and had a sunset orange glow to it. I rationalized this in my head as maybe being at a different orbit than usual and the light reflecting through the atmosphere weirdly, but not out of the ordinary. I continued to scan the skies while keeping an eye on this orange light. Eventually, I noticed, off in the distance, but not that far away from the orange light, another light. But this time, it was the normal white star-like satellite that I'm used to. Now, I want to pause here because I think this is an excellent retelling. This is peak storytelling. And I want to pass the mic so we can kind of round robin this. So it's not just like one person talking the whole time. Does anybody want to pick up?
As I continued to monitor these two lights, there were two things that became abundantly clear. The first is that the white light was moving much faster than the orange light, and the second thing was that these two objects were moving at a 45-degree angle of each other and appeared to be on a path to collide. It was at that point I went and gathered the group by the fire to show them what I had discovered. We all watched in amazement as the two orbs got closer and closer until colliding. When the objects met, both lights disappeared.
Ooh.
We continued to scan the area for a few moments when eventually one white light emerged in the same area, but this time it was traveling at a 90-degree angle from their previous trajectory and continued traveling until it fell off the horizon.
Everyone in the group was stunned and confused by what we just witnessed, except for one of us. While we were all discussing aliens and what we possibly could have seen, one person chimed in with, "Guys, you're all crazy. It's not aliens. Probably just a military training exercise we know nothing about." I guess there had to be one rational person with around it in the group. I scoured the web over the next few days, but couldn't find anything about training exercises, satellite crashes, or even just other reports of the two lights. I know this may not be the craziest experience to some, but to most of our group, it was the weirdest thing we've ever seen in the sky.
Paul, can we get just like whatever is closest to the X-Files or Twilight Zone theme that will not get a suit? Perfect. So we've got to go to we've got to go to the very end of this letter after another fantastic description of Scientology, by the way, and remote viewing, hidden caves, stargates. Write to us about that. Our pal says, I am not a fan of people choosing their own nickname. To me, a nickname is given by friends. As I consider all of you my friends, I would be privileged if you would come up with your nickname for me. But given the spirit of the not-so-great movie I just watched, Ellipses, it was too dark for me, like all of Snyder's recent movies. But for now, you can call me Humble Farmer. Guys, we have our own Humble Farmer now.
Yeah,
I don't have to watch Rebel Moon Part 2. We've got Humble Farmer at home.
We'll have to marinate on a maybe. I don't know. No, we should do it now or we won't get to it. Can we have an alternate nickname that we decide on? Maybe like Lightbringer, Lightfearer, Lightseeker. I don't know.
The Promethean.
There you go. That's good.
The some of Scientology. Yeah. Hey, folks, maybe you can write in and suggest some nicknames.
L. Ron Mother Hubbard.
That's good. I like that one, too. We also wanted to share this one because we get a lot of folks who write in and say, hey, I don't have a suggestion for a new topic, or I'm not necessarily reacting to a thing that you said before, right? But I have an experience I need to share, something that I cannot explain. And with that in mind, we want you to please send us your stories of these seemingly inexplicable things. The idea of unidentified objects or phenomena in the sky is much more ubiquitous than it may appear.
Ooh, I got it. L. Ron Humble Farmer.
There we go. Yeah, that's I'm tired. Humble Farter. The Fumble Farmer would work if this wasn't such an excellently written email.
Yeah, no, that's no. This was deftly handled.
We should also point out that our old friend Brock let us know that he comes from a long line of humble farmers.
Yeah, shout out Brock. Yeah, and shout out to our other conspiracy realist. I think I replied today who warned us about persimmons. Apparently, you have to be very careful when you eat persimmons. Did you guys see that?
Right? Isn't that true or no? What's the deal?
Yeah.
Is that right? I thought I had that somewhere back in the old memory banks.
So this is from our pal who we're going to call Coca-Cola. Thank you, Georgia. Just to not compromise stuff. The thing is, apparently, if you eat persimmons when they're unripe on an empty stomach, they can form bezoars in your stomach.
Ooh, what the heck is a bezoar?
A bezoar is like a bunch of gunk trapped in stomach. It's partially undigested material. It's also very useful in some ritual magic back in the day.
Is it sort of like, what's that stuff that whales secrete that's so valuable? Ambergris? The human equivalent? Right. Are these bezoars, can they be harvested and then sold on the black market? I'm curious. Let us know.
You know, you can sell a lot of stuff on the black market. We've got some stories about that on the way there. But with this in mind, this is a big thank you to Humble Farmer. We just want to find more reasons to say Humble Farmer. This is also a call to action. As we would say in the business, we want to read more of your UFO, UAP, paranormal stories or things you just can't explain. If you drive often, if you drive for a living, then what's the strangest stuff you've seen on the road? If you are out there in the ocean, what's the strangest stuff you've seen on or beneath the waves? These stories are important. They always make our evening. We love to read them. We do not pretend to be the experts in terms of evaluating or analyzing this stuff. But if you would like to send us photographs or footage or audio, we are more than happy to dig in and give you our take.
Consider this a call to arms, a call to use your arms or your mouth or your mind, man, eventually maybe to write us about these and any other questions you might have.
Yeah, call to arms, a call to add to the conversation. 1-833-STD-WYTK, conspiracy at iHeartRadio.com. We'll keep this one brief. Pause for a word from our sponsors. Go see if there are any UFOs outside, and we'll be back with more messages from you.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Today, I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
And we're back. I just took a look outside, guys. Only seeing gray out there. Just gray.
Me too.
Grays?
I blame the color blindness, but, you know, maybe there are other things out there.
Temptal aliens? Clouds. I don't know. I can't tell. There might be a jean jacket up there somewhere. Shout out.
Oh, yeah. Big jean jacket in the sky. I got gotcha. You. Good movie. I hear that one. Matt.
Talking about the Nope, right? The
yes,
Nope.
Sir. Yes, sir. It's honestly my favorite depiction of what a UAP good. Could be. Okay, here we go. We're going to jump to the phone lines. We got a message from Zach.
Hello, my name is Zach from Arkansas. I've got something that I think they don't want us to know. Back in 2005, a director named Kelly Duda, D-U-D-A, made a film called Factor 8. It was about plasma and blood transfusions being taken from the Arkansas prison system and being sold internationally. Apparently, it's illegal to sell them prison-collected blood in the United States, but apparently a gray area internationally. Anyways, rumored that the Clintons were behind all this because he was a governor at this time when this was going on. And, of course, the governor is has some control over the prison systems. But anyways, back in 2005, Kelly Duda put out this movie called Factor 8. It is unobtainable. I cannot find it anywhere on the internet. You can find a trailer for it, which gives quite a bit of information, but still leaves you wanting to watch the entire movie. The movie won film, was shown at film festivals, won some awards, I believe. To my knowledge, Kelly Duda is still around and lives in Arkansas still. but there are tons of conspiracy and imagination just to let go crazy with the bad stuff that went on with this. Lots of people died with tainted blood. Anyways, interesting stuff, and it seems they don't want us to know it.
Well, there we go, guys. Zach's putting us on to a movie and an entire topic, I think, that may even deserve more time than we've got today. But let's knock out what we can. Let's give everybody as much info as we can. First thing I would say is the movie that Zach is referring to is titled Factor the Number 8, : The Arkansas Prison Blood Scandal. You can find an IMDb page for it. You can find a couple other pieces written about it online. But as Zach found, I could not find a place to either purchase this video or even download it in some other way to actually view the entire thing.
I'm with you, Matt. I played the game a bit too, because we talked about this off air. There's not even a good R matey path to it.
There you go. Yes, exactly. R Factor 8. But we couldn't find it. At least to my knowledge, I couldn't find it. Did, however, find a few other documentaries that are touching on this scandal, because it was and is such a big deal. If you search for In Cold Blood, Infected Blood Scandal Documentary, you can find it on a YouTube channel titled Factor 8, by the way. Which is a bit confusing for everybody, I think, but this is an hour and a half long feature documentary. I have not personally watched that one, so I do not know what that one is like. You can also find like longer videos on YouTube from places like Real Stories. There's like an hour long documentary on this whole scandal. There's all kinds of, basically there are places for you to watch things about this if that is how you want to explore it. If you want to read about the topic and what occurred, you will also find a ton of resources. The one that I was, I focused on a couple of the British reportings on it, because it did, a lot of the stuff took place in the UK, also took place in Canada, in parts of Asia as well, and in different countries there. But it is primarily a UK-Canada situation. So I'm kind of trusting a bit of that to go off the initial, like, what occurred. And I guess them using their official healthcare terminology, right, with the different organizations that were reporting. And it also has to do with American pharmaceutical companies. So I was a bit nervous about checking out U.S. reporting, just because I thought there might be.
I can't believe Pfizer.com isn't the best source on this.
But you know what I mean. I don't know. There's just a cozy relationship there sometimes. So,
you know, it's interesting. That name really rang a bell with me. It's a bit of an unusual name. And I did some digging in the old memory banks and remembered that this guy actually pitched this as a podcast several years ago. And nothing came of it. And it's such a crazy and interesting story. I don't quite know what happened. He seems to have ghosted a little bit. It's unusual, because it's such a fascinating story. There had to have been a reason that we didn't do it. But I kind of seem to remember that the guy kind of dropped off the map a little bit.
I know nothing about that, guys. But maybe let's jump into the reporting from BBC just to like have an understanding based off of what Zach is telling us. What does the BBC say about this? They're calling it the blood inquiry, the contaminated blood inquiry. In fact, you can search for what is the contaminated blood inquiry, and you'll find an article written by Nick Triggle, T-R-I-G-G-L-E.
Great name. That's wonderful British name.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to read a bit directly from this article, but ultimately, what's happening in the 1970s and 80s, the United Kingdom is struggling to keep up with this stuff that is, they call it Factor 8 blood clotting treatment. It is to treat people who have hemophilia, so a blood disorder of one sort or another. In this case, it's the blood is unable to clot properly, so you can get treated with this stuff. This treatment is a blood transfusion where you're actually getting a substance, let's call it, that's based on blood from a donor that then goes into your body and allows your body person with hemophilia to clot properly. Okay. So UK can't keep up with the demand. So they start importing stuff from the United States. Now, here's the issue. In the US, a lot of the blood supplies that were going to US pharmaceutical companies were being donated. And in this case, a lot of those donors were coming from prison systems. And several of them, not all of them, obviously, but several of those prisoners ended up having contaminated blood with either HIV or hepatitis C. And somehow or another, those contaminated samples of blood, those donations, made it through the system at the pharmaceutical company, made it through the system then that went over to the UK and Canada.
Unreal.
And was injected into people via transfusion who did not have hepatitis C or HIV.
Sure.
And
until
that moment when they received treatment for the thing they needed. It was like life-saving treatment, which is just a horrifying just series of events, right? The big problem is how did those infected people get to donate blood? Where was the testing? Where was the, like, the protection, right?
Was there consent? What was the order of operations?
Dude, they won't let people that have tattoos donate blood.
Like, or people who visited the UK during mad cow disease.
Right. I'm just saying, like, you know, it's not, there was a communication systematic breakdown at some stage of this this event.
Well, if we're talking 70s and 80s, now remember,
that's a good point.
We've known about HIV for a certain amount of time. We're really starting to understand it in the mid 1980s. So at that time when these donations are going out, maybe there wasn't an understanding, right, of whether or not or how bad this would be, what it would be. And also the hepatitis C thing, we were humans, like science was learning about that stuff still. And there was a monetary incentive to donate blood. If you were a prisoner, you would get paid, right? When we're talking about consent, like, what, in my mind, at least with this story, it wasn't the prisoners being forced to donate. It was more like, yeah, I'll donate blood. I'm going to get some money. That's the way it seems. And this is something that went on for quite a while before it was detected. Because, again, when you got that transfusion, you often weren't aware that you've been infected with anything for a long time, mm-hmm. right? It wasn't until people who received treatments began to get very sick and or die that everyone kind of raised a flag and said, hey, there's a problem here. We need to investigate. So there was a huge inquiry not long ago, I think 2019, there was a large public inquiry in the United Kingdom, you know, just to gather information. And it's something that continues to happen right now. I believe it's still ongoing. So we need to do a deep dive, I think, into this, especially the processes that went into the donations from the Arkansas prison system in particular.
Let's do an episode on the blood trade or blood donation trade in general, I think, right? Like, this is a real thing, quite possibly a real conspiracy. You know, the conspiratorial aspect, to your point, would be when people knew about it or when institutions knew about it versus when they stopped giving tainted blood to people. To innocent people. And there's such hypocrisy in blood donation. It wasn't too long ago that someone's sexual orientation would dictate whether or not they could donate blood.
Sure.
We mentioned the mad cow controversy. You mentioned tattoos as well, Noel. This 2019 inquiry you're talking about, Matt, is it following up on the earlier UK inquiry?
It's been ongoing basically since that time, and things, I guess precautions have been put into place. Blood products of any sort began to be screened for all types of things, like any donated blood that's going to go into any product began getting screened in 1991. Then by the late 1990s, especially for this treatment, this factor VIII treatment, there's a synthetic option. So you didn't actually need human blood donation to make it, right? Which is all good stuff for people suffering from hemophilia that need this type of treatment. But it doesn't change that several thousand people got infected over the course of decades.
Why is there never news about a blood surplus? It's always like in the U.S., there was just a new thing released this week, maybe even yesterday as we record, about emergency lack of blood for people who need it. Like, it's just weird. It's always a shortage. It's never a situation where a country says, we have so much blood.
That would be troubling, though, right?
It'd be a weird headline now that I say it out loud. You know, like Romania advertises free blood.
More like Transylvania, am I right? Say,
we are the number one holder of blood. What supplies?
we're kind of known for our blood.
So yeah. Having a fire sale on blood, blood. All the blood must go.
This is a real problem, though, right? Evidenced by the timeline of investigations and the levels of government to which these investigations have risen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So if you want to learn more, you can also search the Contaminated Blood Scandal Hemophilia Society. That's Hemophilia Society. Search for that. There's a great write-up there. Again, there's stuff you can find everywhere as well, Al Jazeera, The Guardian. If you want to learn more about it on your own, but if not, we're going to hopefully come back with our findings in a full episode shortly. So for now, thank you, Zach. We'll be right back with more messages from you.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Today, I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
And we're back with one more piece of listener mail. Mail from you. Yes, you. This one comes to us from Tai Jin, which is another great nickname. You can give yourself a nickname. It's
not
okay.
Not spelled like the seasoning, though.
No, it's Jin. That's a silence D, but just so you can visualize it. But yeah, humble farmer, we see you.
He's a humble farmer, you guys.
Boy, is he ever. This one is a suggestion for a handful of topics to look into, and I think it's going to be fun to chat about the three of these right quick. So let's jump in. Hi, guys. You can call me Tai Jin, long-time listener, first-time writer. Firstly, you guys have mentioned or talked about immortality and cloning not too long ago. I was wondering if you had ever read Cyteen by C.J. Cherry. There's a seemingly silent H at the end of Cherry, but that's how I'm going to say it. If not, I highly recommend it. It explores cloning and human engineering on a global scale. It is a very interesting read and makes you consider the boons and downfalls of such sciences. I'm going to go through all these and then we'll hit them one at a time. Secondly, and on a completely different topic, have you ever covered the disappearance of Harold Holt? He was a prime minister of Australia who had disappeared while in office in 1967. I haven't done much research on this, but I'm very curious as to the possible circumstances of his disappearance. Lastly, on New Year's Day in Miami at the Bayside Marketplace, apparently there was a sighting of a 10-foot-tall alien that caused a large panic. I'm going to leave it at that so that we can get to the details of that in our conversation. Ty Jen also included some very helpful links and signed off. So thanks, Ty Jen. Ben, you made an expression as though you are familiar with Citeen by C.J. Cherry. I read a bit about it on the internet without having actually read it, but it sounds like a really cool piece of prescient sci-fi.
Oh, yeah. Well, as always like to point out, the good sci-fi is always prescient and fiction only for a certain amount of time. I just really appreciated that shout out, Taijin, and quid pro quo, Clarice, as they say, shout out to your awesome name. I like your point about choosing nicknames as well, Noel. And this is, these are three great topics. These are three great things to explore. I wonder, we've talked a little bit about Harold Holt. These are all so great. Noel, what's your initial reaction when you read this first topic?
Oh, like I said, I'm not familiar with the book, but I'm a huge fan of science fiction that gets the future right. And it does seem like this Citeen series, or is it a series or is it just a single book? Like I said, I read some synopses online. It sounds pretty complex, as oftentimes some of these types of novels are. But have you read Citeen, Ben, by C.J. Cherry?
If I'm remembering this correctly, I want to say it's just the one book. I don't think it's a series, but I do remember it because it was when it was this golden age in used bookstores where you could get any quote unquote genre fiction in paperback form for like less than a dollar if it was a used book. So I went through a lot of sci-fi paperbacks at that time. But I do think it is... I do think it is just the one book. I believe I picked it up because it won a Hugo Award.
Looking it up now, it does appear to be just the one book. And Ben, I'm with you on the mining thrift stores for fantasy and sci-fi novels. I actually stumbled upon a book called The Wizard's Mole by none other than friend of the show and owner of the complaints email box, Jonathan Strickland's father, Brad
yes.
Strickland.
Yeah. And I haven't read that.
It's funny, speaking of series versus one-offs, I texted Jonathan when I was at the bookstore, sent him a picture of it for lulz, and he responded, "Don't get it. It's the 8th book in a 15 book series. You won't have any idea what's going on." Not the case with Citeen by C.J. Cherry, which came out in 1988, involves a planet that has become toxic for humans to live on, and the necessity to create kind of capsule colonies, like biodome kind of situations within the city. And it, of course, involves politics, like a lot of the best science fiction does. And when it's done well, it's not as snoozy as one might think. I think Star Trek is a great example of doing politics in a way that is actually very interesting and educational when it comes to thinking about the politics of Earth today. But yeah, very much so. This involves a lot of human cloning and the idea of these womb tanks, incubators called womb tanks, which I think is a great nomenclature. But I don't want to give anything away. I actually want to read this. I may do it as an audiobook on an upcoming trip. But yeah, let's move on. Thanks for the recommendation to the second topic. It was about the Prime Minister of Australia, Harold Holt. I didn't remember this, but Ben, you said you remember either not necessarily doing a full episode, but it may have come up in other research. This guy disappeared suspiciously, or at the very least, suddenly, during a swimming expedition, and he was known for his love of the swim. He was a big swimmer, strong swimmer, as they say.
Yes, yes. One of those folks who would have gotten their cups and said, you know, I wish I'd been born a dolphin. Shout out to folks like Treese and A is for Alien and fellow Ben Down Under, our Australian listeners. You're aware of this. And Matt, check me here. I think maybe it was an Australian listener who tipped us with Harold Holt way back in the day. For some reason, I'm associating it with our mysterious disappearances phase, a la, you know, Dag Hammarskjöld and stuff like that.
Yeah. I'm searching through our meta right now, guys, to try and find it, because it sounds so familiar to me.
I didn't find a full episode on it. I was looking through. I think maybe it's like a cavalcade of where did these people go kind of episode.
Well, you know, because of his you know, notoriety, obviously, as a prominent politician, I believe he was pretty well liked, and his reputation as being such a strong swimmer, this is what, of course, caused speculation to take place, you know, around the nature of his disappearance. And I think it was ultimately ruled like death by misadventure, one of those kind of things. But there is a not to make light of the loss of a human life, but there was something that I read in the just a cursory glance through the wiki about this guy, that there was a national like recreation center in Melbourne that was named after him, and like an indoor pool. And a lot of Aussies apparently find that to be a little bit ironic. Don't you think? But that's sort of the point. You know, he was known for his love of the water. So name a pool center after him.
You know what's funny here, Taijin and Noel and Matt and everybody tuning in, is that this very evening, as we record, not too long ago, someone released a story called The Enduring Enigma, Harold Holt's Disappearance and the Swirl of Conspiracy Theories. The most famous theory, which I think it's quoted often, I can't remember if we mentioned this one, is that this guy who entered politics at a very young age, I think he was in his late 20s, he's like 27 years old when he enters politics.
That's right.
The idea is that, or the most popular fringe speculation, is that the entire time he was an op, he was an agent of the Chinese government.
I saw that,
and that
one, yeah.
When he was swimming, he wasn't on a recreational swim. He was instead physically swimming out to meet a submarine from China.
How?
Presumably containing his handlers, I imagine.
It doesn't make sense. If you've ever had to meet a submarine,
is China near Australia? I'm bad at geography.
It has to surface, right, to do anything. You can't go into a sub.
No, they pick him up. They go, they come above.
It has to surface.
Open the little hatch, you know?
Which means unless things are absolutely foobar, you are on a small boat on the way to the submarine.
Yeah,
that's how those pickups work.
It's a dinghy sitch, you know.
I love a good dinghy sitch.
But the story I heard is that he got pulled out with a rip current. Basically, he was just swimming, you know, as a human swims in water, and got ripped out to sea, and that was it.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing with Jeff Buckley, the gorgeous, wonderful singer songwriter. Yeah. I say gorgeous, not referring to his looks, but he was also a good looking man. But he died; was tragically swept away by a strong river current, you know, and he was a guy who was known to swim all the time. So it was also
Glenn Miller, one of the most famous musicians at the time of his disappearance. The reality is that the ocean is brutal and is enormous.
So you know what it's going to do.
Can be left.
Like, it doesn't
things
care about
can
you.
Be lost. And I don't know. There was a huge investigation, and you made a beautiful point earlier, which is that whenever a prominent public figure dies or disappears, whatever the circumstances, a certain contingent of the public will have an alternative explanation or theory. It doesn't, for instance, it doesn't matter. Like if who's someone who's super famous, if Neil deGrasse Tyson today, God forbid, slipped and fell on camera and like died in that dark lottery of accidental death or death by misadventure, as you put it, then regardless of how much proof there was, around the circumstances of that demise, there would inevitably be a group of people who are like, here's what really happened. You know what I mean? You got to look at the Diet Cokes in the green room. That's stuff true. Like that.
It's true. He was going to let it slip that the earth is actually flat.
That's why they got him. Big round got him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Big round. The Harold Holt story, though, is still really troubling because it hasn't, like, they've never found the body, right? Habeas corpus never occurred.
Yeah. But you know what else they never found the bodies of, guys?
What's that?
The shadow extraterrestrials that were chilling in Miami.
No, they never. Whence those shadows, right? Like, what's making the shadows? Maybe we break down that for the context, because I know, we talked about earlier this week, we're just hanging out. But what's the scoop? How can we do that in like a headline version?
Well, shoot, I don't even know all the details, guys. I've gotten most of the information from Instagram reels that I could not find any confirmation about the facts. And then the stuff you can find to confirm is like, oh, yeah, there were some teens at a mall and they had an altercation. So 50 cop cars showed up.
Yeah, but it was apparently 50 teens. Sorry, not to spoil it. But
no,
yeah,
tell me.
No 10-foot-tall alien at the Miami Galleria.
What?
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Malls are dying. They could have used that publicity.
I know, they could have used the press. But, you know, there's a video that made, you know, remember like that, those people in the backyard? Wasn't that in Florida? There was like supposedly an alien, like a glimpse of an alien. There was people in the backyard.
West. Yeah, but there are a lot of those videos.
There are. And I saw the video for this one, and it's an overhead shot with all the cop activity, which involves flashing blue lights, y'all, which is something that's often heralded or associated with the appearance of extraterrestrials. And there is the detail I can only assume is what people are talking about is this blurry form behind one of the flashing blue lights that apparently is nothing more than three police officers walking in a line together. But when you look at it with the angle of the elevated shot, the overhead mm-hmm. shot, mm-hmm. it's harder to make out what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of orientation. So the side by side of them almost appears to be stacked because you're seeing it blurred. So it does look like a, you know, the scale of it's all whacked out. So you can't quite tell what you're looking at, but it does appear to be a tall form.
Face on Mars. Yeah. Pareidolia, right?
There you go. That's probably pattern. Right. Yeah.
That's from a January 8th, 2024 post on X, formerly known as Twitter. There's something I saw right now, actually, and forgive me, guys, for Googling and searching while we're on the air, but it looks like just earlier today, holy smokes, yeah, at 4:05 p.m. today, someone came out and said the Miami police have refuted the allegations that there was an alien invasion. So good on you, Miami PD.
The quote specifically, I believe, hang on. Nothing is being withheld from the public. No aliens, UFOs, or ETs. No airports were closed. No power outages. I love that they led with no aliens, UFOs, or ETs and not the like more practical the response of the airports and power outages.
But of course they're going to say that. Why do you need 50 cop cars? I don't care how many teens are fighting. There aren't 50 squad cars immediately available unless you call, like, you literally do a calling all cars for all of Miami.
Right. And also, let me point out that if it's 50 teens and then it's 50 cops, that parent to student ratio is way higher than what you would see in Miami public schools.
Yeah. Miami goes hard, dude. Miami gets lit.
I don't, you know, I love Miami, got a lot of contacts in Miami who are listening to the show right now and continually invited, but I just feel like I'm Frodo when I go there. Everybody's so cool and so beautiful. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm like Frodo in the land of the elves when I go to Miami, you know?
Yeah, I thought Frodo was pretty cute.
Thanks, man.
That Elijah Wood type fella. You're a bit of an Elijah Wood-esque figure, Ben. You can hold your own against an elf any day of the week.
Never
been to Miami, but it does seem like the kind of place that aliens would rock, you know? They'd be like, that place seems wild. Let's check that out.
Sure, why not? Do what we want. It'll be under the ocean in, you know, pretty soon, so.
I always just think of evidence. The movie Spring Breakers, which is a Florida man mm-hmm. kind of situation, mm-hmm. and the character that James Franco plays, somewhat problematically borrowing, maybe not problematically, well, Riff Raff in and of himself may be problematic, but borrowing Riff Raff's whole game, the rapper. And his name, of course, in the film is Alien, which I always thought was kind of funny and ironic.
Now, we do have to point out something that I think you're getting toward there, Matt, which is the teens, like, the kids in this situation are real. And it's projected that there was roughly 50 kids. We were talking about this again earlier. And they were, I think, what was it? Like shooting fireworks at other people at the mall. They were doing the thing where you go into a small brick and mortar store with a big group of people. And you sort of count on the idea that their maximum staff amount is going to be 3 to 4 folks. And then you just, if you go in there with therefore like 15 to 20 folks on your side, then you can just grab whatever you want.
Yeah, I've seen that too. I think it's just, we're in this place now where everything gets muddied so quickly because there are so many loud voices on social media that get, I guess, more attention paid to them than even the written article from the journalist who got paid a salary to write that and to investigate it and make phone calls and find out what's going on. So it, in my mind, the alien stuff is so much more prominent and interesting that it's almost as though my eyes look to that because that's cooler than, oh, so there were some younger people fighting. You know,
yeah, and not just investigative research, investigative journalism. It's not just phone calls. It's also digging through, actually reading through all sorts of things that are perhaps by design, not page turners, not fun to read. And like I think you're right. It reminds me of what we were talking about earlier this week when Davos, we don't always agree with Davos folks, when Davos pointed out that AI misinformation is a genuine short-term threat. And this sort of hall of mirrors that are facing each other, reflecting nothing, it creates a feedback loop, an echo chamber. What are you going to say? You're going to, like, if you're the person who is trying to get attention in the dopamine casino, are you going to go with a headline that says cops crack down on children launching fireworks? Or are you going to go with a headline that says aliens in Miami and then just cover your ass with a question mark at the end?
Yeah, no, I yield my time.
Sorry, I soapbox the little guys.
I feel you on that. No, you said it all, Ben. You said it all. But man, huge thanks to Ty Jin for the excellent topics. It sounds to me like we're going to do a deep dive episode on the blood transfusion scandal over there in Arkansas. And looking forward to that one.
And with that, we have much more ahead in coming evenings, folks. Thanks so much to Zach. Thanks to Humble Farmer. Thanks to Taijin. Thanks to everyone who chose to spend some time, the only real currency of this world, with us, fellow conspiracy realists. If you would like to join the show, we would love to have you over on the air in one form or another. We have so many ways to be in contact with you.
That's right. You can find us at the handle Conspiracy Stuff, where we exist on several places on the internet. Those are Facebook, X, and also YouTube. We are Conspiracy Stuff Show, however, on Instagram and TikTok. And I'm just going to second what Matt said on the last episode. Check out the Instagram. Check out the YouTube. Write a comment. We've got some fun videos we put a lot of thought and time into, and we're very proud of them. And some of them are goofy. Some of them are informative. It kind of runs the gamut, but worth checking out for sure.
How are things going in your neck of the woods? Why don't you give us a call and tell us about it? 1-833-STDWYTK. It is a phone system for voicemail. You've got 3 minutes when you call in. Say whatever you'd like. Just give yourself a cool nickname and let us know if we can use your message and voice on the air. If you don't want to do that, why not instead send us an email?
One of the absolute best ways to contact us, folks. We've got a lot of awesome writers chiming in. Give us the links, give us the photos, give us your firsthand accounts of things like small town corruption, new leads on new episodes, and of course, tell us what's on your mind from your latest listener correspondence with your fellow conspiracy realists. You can do all of this any old time at our old-fashioned email address. Just drop us a line. We are conspiracy@iheartradio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax, Terminix can help.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast.
If your home or business has pests, don't stress it.
Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com.